Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. This is a big week for New York City museums as they get set for limited reopening. If you go to the Whitney's webpage, it says in big letters, "We've missed you, opening September 3rd. It also says it's pay what you wish until September 28th. And then if you scroll down a bit more, there's a message from the museum director that says, "We stand with Black communities." A group of Black photographers might take issue with that statement. Last week, the Whitney Museum of American Art canceled its planned exhibition, Collective Actions, Artist Interventions in a Time of Change, after criticism over how it acquired the works that would be on display. Joining me now is Alex Zaragoza, a senior staff writer at Vice covering culture. She wrote a piece for Vice called "The Whitney Museum Pillaging Black Art is Nothing New." Alex, welcome to All of It.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So what was the original vision for this show?
Well, for the Whitney show or the
Whitney Black show
project? I believe it was a collection of art and ephemera that was related to the current moment with the uprisings, with in response to the killings of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and countless others. And so wanting to document this era of protest and this era of uprising. In itself, the idea is great in wanting to share this moment and create this space to honor this moment. But the way that they went about it, obviously, has hugely problematic. It was hugely problematic.
All right. So as you said, mission, interesting. So where did the Whitney go to acquire the works and why was it controversial?
I can't speak for how they acquired all the works, but I do know when it came to the See in Black project, they purchased the work from what I'm aware of. They purchased the work during their Juneteenth sale. The See in Black project is this incredible project that was created by a small collection of Black curators and artists who wanted to, create this space where they honored and celebrated Black culture, where they, paid attention and gave the space for Black visibility within art and, showing this work that details the richness and and complexities of the experience, and has donating all the funds to causes that would, enrich and, reinvest in the Black community. And so the art had been donated by artists that to be sold at a pretty discounted rate so that it was not just, it was actually available so that people could, so it was accessible to collectors and people that are not collectors but would love to see art of this high quality and caliber in their homes. And so the Whitney came in and kind of scooped up a few pieces. And from what I understand as well, they even downloaded some, protest art that was created by designers, graphic designers and other artists that they had made available for free on websites and stuff and online. And so they were planning on exhibiting all this art, and they made artists aware, artists in the See in Black project and the other graphic designers, they made them aware by emailing them like, "Hey, we quote unquote acquired this, and we'd love to give you a lifetime membership, and we'd love to, get some information on you," which is like, excuse me, this is not what the purpose of this art was. This was for people to collect and have this work in their home, and for the Black community and people that want to support this work and support this moment.
So the Whitney bought the work at this discounted price that was actually meant for an entirely different audience. It really wasn't meant for museums to come with somewhat deep pockets to come in and buy and then display. Did the Whitney, from your reporting, did the Whitney ask any of the artists permission to use the work, considering many of them donated the work?
As far as I'm aware, no. They just let the artists know that the work was acquired and it was intended, and they were planning on exhibiting it during this exhibition.
All right, so here's the big question. How did the artists respond? What did they do?
Well, I mean, as you can imagine, it's the audacity of something like this, of this institution that, along with pretty much every other museum across the country, you know, this institution that's extremely white, that doesn't create space for, you know, Black curators and art, very often it's actually, you know, the diversity and inclusivity in these spaces is laughable, I mean, at best. And it's just, it's actually really, really terrible, the level of the low levels of diversity that are included in the staffing and what they show. So it's like these artists and in this project, in the CM Black project, they created this space for themselves to be able to support their work, the work of their fellow artists and you know, curators, and also to support their community. And here comes this you know, mega, you know, wealthy arts institution that has its pretty like problematic background already, that has done some pretty questionable things already. And I mean, it's just another example of this sort of cultural theft, of this entitlement to be able to say, we're going to do this and gain this social clout, this wokeness clout, to exhibit this and look like we're doing this grand thing for the Black community and show how much we care about the Black community, even though we don't hire Black people very often. We don't hire Black curators as guests very often. You know, it's just one of those things. It's the gall of it. And the artists who came forward and the curators that came forward to speak on this were, you know, understandably angry. Why wouldn't they be angry at this? Where you create a space for yourself only to have, you know, only to have this predatory kind of institution reach out, even though you created this to protect yourself and protect your community.
Now, the exhibition's been canceled. This tweet is from the museum's official Twitter account. It reads, "The Whitney has decided not to proceed with the exhibition collective actions. We have heard the artists who have voiced their concerns. We apologize for how we handled the exhibition and the pain and frustration it caused." There have been all sorts of different reactions to this. Some artists have been said, well, hey, I would have loved to have been seen in the Whitney. I just wanted to be compensated. What do you take of this statement?
Well, I mean, canceling the exhibition was, I suppose, the least they could do. I mean, it's not really for me to decide on that. It's for the curators and the artists, you know, that who were harmed in the process to decide. But it's just, when it comes to that, I'm like, okay, so you canceled it. I don't know. It feels a little bit like a cop-out, you know, to me personally. But especially when there's far more things that they could do. Will they be returning the art? Will they be donating to the organizations that this, you know, project, that the CM Black project was intending on funding? Will they be, you know, throwing maybe some extra money since they got it at these organizations? Mm-hmm. Will they be compensating the artists more in full for their work? Will they be providing, you know, a space where outside of their intervention, but providing a space to the CM Black project to create their own exhibition around the same cause? You know, there's so many other things that they can do other than just like, oopsie, never mind, we just won't do it anymore because you're mad at us. I just think that's like bare minimum. I don't really like to applaud the bare minimum personally.
Curator Ferris Webber, he wrote a letter of apology. He went farther in saying, "My sincere hope in collecting them, this work, was to build on a historical record of how artists directly engage the important issues of their time. Going forward, we will study and consider further how we can better collect and exhibit artworks and related material that are made and distributed through these channels. I understand how projects in the past several months have a special resonance, and I sincerely want to extend my apologies for any pain that the exhibition has caused." You know, it's very interesting. We're opening, all these institutions are opening after a very, very intense 6 months dealing with racial reckoning, dealing with how we think about New York City, dealing with how we think about each other. What are some of the issues that you think these major institutions are going to have to face in the next years as a result of the past 6 months?
You know, it's not even the next year. This is a thing, this is like something that they need to face for the rest of their existence. Mm-hmm. This is not a temporary thing. This movement has long been happening for years and decades and long before that. And it's going to continue. And it's like, it's, you know, as horrible and awful that this is what has led to this reckoning and this uprising is like, it's inspiring to see that level of collective action and everyone coming forward. But what it's going to take for these art institutions is to really look deep into their systems and really look at like who they're hiring, what shows that they're putting up, which art are they doing, where did they get this art from? You know, these art institutions are often trophy houses of stolen work from other nations and countries and cultures that doesn't belong to them. And it's, you know, there's a level of exploitation that occurs there. There's a great piece in Teen Vogue by Angie Jaime that, you know, delved into this, these spaces as, you know, colonialist trophy houses. Danny Kwateng as well, who's part of the CM Black Project, wrote about this for Vice last year, which is wild to me to like have her write this piece and literally a year later be, this happens to her, right. Specifically her and her and the project she's working on. It's wild. It's incredible to see. And so, like I said, this isn't just like in the next 6 months, like what can we do to like put a Band-Aid over this, you know, patch of this bad decision. This is if they really care about this moment, about the movement that's been happening and continuing to happen, it's about really deeply looking at themselves
and
long-term change and structural change.
My guest has been Alex Zaragoza, Vice Senior Staff Writer covering culture. Alex, hope to have you back sometime. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.